Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Last night also was the season finale of White Lotus, season 3. My wife is obsessed with the show. I don't know what it is about White Lotus. I don't know if it's that she just dreams on being on vacation in these places. And I know a lot of people have gotten into White Lotus. I thought the first season was really good, and I feel like it's kind of trended down to the point where I thought this year was not very good. But my wife still loves it, and she'll walk into the room out of nowhere. Like, we'll be sitting there, I'll be making dinner or, you know, whatever, and she'll walk in and she'll be like, "Did I tell you?" I'm like, "What?" "I read an interesting fan theory about..." I'm like, "Oh my God, a fan theory? I don't care about a fan theory about this show. Like, you want to give me a fan theory about Severance? Okay. Who cares about the fan theory about this show?" Like, I was down on it. Although, of course, you knew it was going to be a meme as one of the main characters contemplates ending it all in a Duke t-shirt. And after the choke job that Duke gave you on Saturday night, losing to Houston in the Final Four, obviously you knew that was going to be everywhere, as that was one of the more surprising ends to a college basketball game I have ever seen. I got to be totally honest with you. I was DVRing it because, you know, I'm always bouncing around and I want to make sure I have something in case something happens. Like, I got off it for a little bit. I was like, this game, man, there's no way Duke's losing this game. I went and I put my kids to bed, and then my wife wanted to watch something. We were kind of watching. I was monitoring it, and then I saw the score, and I went back and watched the last, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of the game that I think I missed. Like, crazy. Absolute show. I mean, listen, it was helped by a terrible over-the-back call, a lot of things. I mean, but I thought that game was well in hand. I thought they were going to win the national championship, and now I think Florida rolls in the national championship. But we'll get to that a little bit later. I'll be on after the game. I think Keith will come on, but obviously the national championship game tonight. Congratulations to the Women Huskies as UConn wins another national championship, defeating South Carolina in relatively easy form. So we're coming to the end of the college basketball. We're getting ready for NBA playoffs. The baseball season's just underway. Hockey playoffs are around the corner. The Rangers with a brutal loss to the Devils. It just feels like this is over. I mean, I know mathematically, I guess it's not, but it feels like this Ranger season is over. And then, of course, Ovechkin on Long Island, of all places, ties the great Wayne Gretzky. I mean, passes the great Wayne Gretzky for the most goals ever in the NHL. Still doing it, 42 goals this year. It's not like he's hanging on. He's having a great year. He's missed 16 games and still has this many goals. So we'll get to all that as well, but we're still talking baseball here as both the Yankees and Mets are 6-3 to start the year. Some major issues, some major question marks, but ultimately for me, both teams thriving in spots that were my biggest fears. And I think that's a major positive, as although it's only 9 games, and we'll see, coming off a 4-game winning streak for the Mets, what they're getting rotation-wise, what they're getting in the bullpen. They have the best ERA in all of baseball, while the offense really struggles, while Vientos, while Beatty, while even Juan Soto on some level. And we know the early starts to Lindor, although he's starting to show signs, like not coming through with the big hit, not being able to get the runner in from third, you know, winning these games 2-1, 3-1. The pitching staff gives up 3 runs in the opening series against the home opening series against Toronto. 3 runs in 3 games. I mean, that's how dominant this bullpen has been. And I thought, although he's had a great start to the year, the Mendoza, I have no idea why he left Peterson in to hit Jimenez, which is the only run of this game. A hit pitch with the bases loaded. That's it. They've been unbelievable, and the Yankee offense is extremely dynamic. So early success in places we weren't sure we were getting it to start the baseball season. Let's go to Paul in Hartford. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good.
Okay, good. And good.
We're doing these nights together here, trying to piece it together. You know what the one thing is? I will tell you, you can't win a World Series in April, but you can definitely lose one. But yeah. I want to get to this is my number one point. Mm-hmm. There is that drama with Clemente.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh. And yes. I'll tell you one thing. One of the best interviews I've ever heard on this station, listening to it my whole life, was when Neil Walker, on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I don't recall, and I'm not sure who the host was, but when he recalled the story with his father and Clemente, mm-hmm. one of the best interviews I've ever heard. So go back, pull that up, Odyssey. You know, we always do that. You know, you always hear that Odyssey station. All
yeah.
This. That was one of the best interviews ever with Neil Walker about his dad and Clemente.
Okay, yeah, listen, and the drama, I think, has been fixed. They've announced that they are going to re-establish the shrine or number, whatever it was, with Roberto Clemente out in right field, out in Pittsburgh. If you didn't know, they used to have a sign honoring Roberto Clemente in right field, and I guess this year they put an advertisement over it. I think it was like a seltzer, an alcoholic beverage. I don't know if it was beer or a seltzer or whatever, but they did cover up or change and take out. And Roberto Clemente Jr. Was very upset and claimed the family was not notified. There was no discussion about it. They just showed up to the ballpark on the home opener and saw the change. And I mean, it's a tough time for Pittsburgh. Let's be honest. I know they came back and they did manage to win this final game of the series. They're off to a bad start this year. They really have no chance of success. They have one of, if not the most dynamic young starting pitchers in all of baseball and Skeens, and they didn't attempt to try and build around him because you know he's not going to sign a long-term contract here. They have a short time with Skeens to be their guy, a short time, and they did practically nothing to help themselves attempt to win this year in a National League Central that, let's be honest, is up for grabs almost every year. And they chose to do nothing. And you get the hideous play that they gave you on opening day. I mean, just they played terribly. They played terribly defensively, couldn't get anything going offensively. You got the crowd chanting, sell the team, on top of taking down a shrine to the greatest player of the franchise. An icon in the Latin community, one of the greatest ball players to ever live. And they put up an advertisement to try and make more money that they're not investing into the team. It is a bad look for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that's why they've already went back on it, and they're going to reinstitute it. Now, apparently they put like a smaller number 21 on the wall, and they claim that that's how they justified doing it. But whatever the case may be, they have gone back and they are going to reestablish the honoring of the great Roberto Clemente. But yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh is just a mess right now. It's a beautiful ballpark. I would love to go. It's one of the top. I'm going to definitely try and go either this summer or next to a game in Pittsburgh. Maybe now that they play every other year in 2 years, I'll go chase the Yankees down in Pittsburgh in 2 years. Because I would love to go to that ballpark. Hopefully they do it over the summer instead of early April. And why are we playing so... The Yankees have yet to play an American League team. We're 9 games in. And you know, I do my scorebook, and I write in my scorebook, and I put the standings, and then I put, you know, at the top, you put the team's record and what they are against the East, the Central. I'm nothing but lines all the way to Interleague. What the hell? Plus, it makes it more difficult to have these games rained out. Obviously, the Yankees now have to change their schedule. It's going to be so damn cold. This is going to be a tough series for the New York Yankees. Not that Detroit's all that good, although they have some guys in the lineup for sure. They're going to throw really good pitching, right? You're going to get Skubal. You're going to get Flaherty. And who's the other pitcher? I got to take off my mind. I know they're getting the 3 top pitchers for Detroit. Plus, it's going to be like 30 degrees. So the Yankee offense is going to be tested. This is not going to be an easy series against Detroit. Did you find out who they're? I think it's
Casey Mize. So
Casey Mize.
Anything special there.
Right. Let's get to the calls again. Jeff in Queens. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, the Yankees are playing relatively good, but I have a couple of concerns. My first concern is the way they hit against left-handed pitching. Austin Wells is an automatic out. Jason Dominguez is basically an automatic out right-handed.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with Wells necessarily. Yeah, and Dominguez, correct. He has not shown. So, listen, yesterday was the first. It's an issue because in a big spot, you don't trust a lot of the right-handed hitters. I totally agree with you. But I do want to just, let's not say that they have automatic outs, because other than Heaney yesterday, they've actually done a fairly good job against left-handed pitching this year.
I think we should start having a conversation about Ben Rice getting at bats over Austin Wells. I think Ben Rice has a higher ceiling than Austin Wells. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy to say that. I mean, I don't think he's a catcher though. Like, I don't think it's one or the other. I know he's caught. I'm not saying he can't catch at all. I don't think they think he's very good. They're going to continue to use him as a catcher, but I mean, if he's not playing catcher, I can't imagine. You know, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they like Wells behind the plate. You could find a spot for Ben Rice, but your overall premise that Rice could end up being the better hitter and have a higher ceiling, sure. I don't think that's crazy. I think they really like Ben Rice. He's had great minor league numbers, and he's looked terrific so far this year. But I don't know why you're down on Wells. He's been great.
And my last point, thank you for letting me speak. My last point is the Yankees need a guy that throws at least 97. I think Weaver and Williams are good, but them throwing 93, 92 is going to be a problem against a good team, I think, in a big spot. I think they need an arm that throws hard, you know?
Yeah. They don't have the fireballer. That is true. Weaver throws harder than 92, 93, and so does Devin Williams. Devin Williams throws 95, 96, 94 to 96, and Weaver throws roughly the same. They've got fastballs that can make you worry about the fastball. It's not... We saw the reliever, I forget his name now, but the reliever came in from Arizona who was throwing 101, 102. Yeah, the Yankees do not have that kind of arm in the bullpen, but they do have, you know, good strikeout numbers. Like, if you look at it, Devin Williams strikes out a lot of guys. I know he hasn't so far yet, so he'll never strike out another batter this season. But Devin Williams averaged, 17 strikeouts per 9 last year? I think that was his strikeout rate. And they brought in Cruz, who had the highest strikeout rate for any reliever in baseball. So Cruz strikes guys out. Believe it or not, I know he's actually had a good start besides the grand slam he gave up to the Astros, Diamondbacks, rather. But Leiter has a decent strikeout K per 9. Cruz has an excellent K per 9. Devin Williams strikes people out. I think Weaver strikes people out. Loaisiga is going to come in and throw hard and strike people out. So, yeah, they have a lot more swing and miss in the bullpen than they had last year and the year before. They have a lot more swing and miss. They do. But they don't have that guy who comes in pumping 100. That's true. They don't. And a lot of bullpens do. And a lot of bullpens have it from guys who aren't that good. Like, you know, their fourth or fifth best reliever comes in pumping 100. He can't put it where he wants, and he's, you know, it's got no movement or whatever, but he does throw hard. The Yankees don't have that flamethrower in the back end of the bullpen. They don't. But they've got guys who swing and they've got guys with swing and miss stuff. And I mean, Weaver's electric. And again, Devin Williams. Devin Williams is the elite of the elite. Like, it's been three appearances for him. He is the elite of the elite. He is one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball. MLB Network, for whatever it's worth, and I'm not saying that it's the be-all, end-all, they picked him as the best reliever in all of baseball. The Shredder, whatever that stupid show is they do, the best reliever in baseball. This is not just a guy who's had success a little bit somewhere. This is a guy who's dominated for years. It's a new team. It's new surroundings. The idea that he can't pitch here, and we know it after three appearances, is bonkers to me. Like, relax. He'll be fine. Yes, he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour, but he throws 94-95 with the best changeup in the entire Major League Baseball. Like, can we give him a second? Good Lord. 888-808-1019. All right, we'll come back. Continue to take your phone calls on baseball, whatever you want. We're going to get into the Knicks a little bit. We'll get into Ovechkin a little bit. We can get into Shador Sanders and Hunter's Pro Day at Colorado. And already some of the things you're hearing, it is so maddening. I'm on the Giants drafting a quarterback, right? We'll get to it. But some of the stuff you get, I mean, I can give you 10 articles. Five have it as Shador Sanders wowed and impressed, and the ball comes out of his hand so free and easy, and only three incompletion, only three balls hit the floor, and two of them were drops, and it was one of the best pro days I've ever seen. And then the other five are going to be like, I don't know, didn't come out good at all. I was expecting more of like preview of how, you know, I was really expecting him to come out here and try and prove his arm strength, and I didn't get any of that. Really an underwhelming pro day. It's so frustrating to try and gauge what's going on with Shador Sanders. He can be, I know we've had a lot of talk about quarterbacks, and not just for the Giants and Jets, just quarterbacks in general at the top of the draft, right? Just going years and years, right? Last year, how much about Bo Nix? How much about the, you know, Michael Penix Jr. and his age, and, you know, or whatever else? Like, there's always something, and we have these back and forths about quarterbacks and how good they're going to be. Josh Allen's a project. Lamar Jackson's going to have to be a wide receiver or a running back. He's not a quarterback, and, you know, all this stuff that we talk about. I don't know if I ever remember, and maybe I'm more in tune because the Giants are up there to pick them. I don't know if I ever remember a more back and forth, you know, and no one says a damn thing about Cam Ward. Not a thing. He's not a big time prospect either. He's part of this class that doesn't have. He's not the best player in the draft, right? The Hunter and Carter are the two best players in this draft. Nobody disputes it. But nobody says a thing about Cam Ward. I haven't heard a thing about Cam Ward. But yet, Shador Sanders is bad-mouthed, praised, like it's all over the place. I am so tired. I want the draft to be here. I'm so tired of talking about whatever the Giants do. I want them to draft a quarterback, whether in the, I hope it's with the third pick or better. But if it's in later in the first round, if it's in the second round, they need in the first two rounds to draft what they deem to be their future quarterback. But it doesn't have to be Shador Sanders. But I am so tired of the back and forth, and this guy loves him, and this guy hates him, and this guy thinks he stinks, and this guy, I don't ever remember this much up and down, positive, negative. I know it happens every year, but Shador Sanders, this takes the cake. I mean, it's just his pro day, literally. I tried to, you know, read up on it and read a couple articles and watch a couple YouTube videos, and it's completely, it's not just, it's, oh, or it's all. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swung on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back. It may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 327, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And obviously, yesterday, last night, we got to see the return of Jalen Brunson, who missed, I think, exactly 1 month as the Knicks defeated the Phoenix Suns 112-98. In his return, he played 34 minutes, which I thought was more than I expected him to play. He looked fine out there, didn't play overall, you know, a great game, 3-for-9 from the floor, 1-of-4 from three, got to the foul line 10 times, scored 15 points, was a +9 in the game, moved around well. I mean, this game in particular isn't, you know, now they won the last two games. They had an offensive explosion against Atlanta on Saturday. When they win back, they win both Saturday and Sunday. They now have recorded 50 wins in consecutive seasons for the first time since 94-95. That's the last time this Knicks franchise won back-to-back 50-game seasons. And to me, there's a couple of storylines. One, and I talked about it last, I guess Friday or Thursday, whatever show, OG Anunoby. I mean, obviously, OG right now and the way he's playing and what he's done offensively, 32 points again, he is getting to the basket, although he doesn't have any foul shots in this game. But his ability to get to the basket, we saw the Euro step the other game and getting to, like, his offensive moves. He now gets the ball and looks to score. He is a different player right now, and it happened while Brunson was gone. And we had hoped, I mean, the thought was and the hope was, is you knew what this team was, and you knew they were in a position where they weren't going to fall out of playoff positioning. You knew they still had other stars to carry the team. You knew they were going to get by, whether or not it was going to be uber successful while he was out. You knew they would get by, and they were built well enough, and they had a big enough lead in the standings, and they were where they were, where it wasn't going to kill them. It was just a matter of when he gets back and if he's going to be healthy. But you kind of hoped that the silver lining would be that the team would actually find themselves in other areas without Jalen Brunson playing, and they would establish themselves, you know, maybe defensively, as obviously Mitch Robinson came back during this time period. But early on, I was hoping Mikal Bridges would find himself, become more of a force on this team, score more points. And he did for a brief minute, that big win against Portland, after raising questions about the minutes and everything like that. But ultimately, it's been OG Anunoby, who is playing at an all-star level, who is completely different than the guy we saw in December and November, and then before the injury. Like, he is, his offensive game, he's scoring 25 points a night. And you got Mitchell Robinson, and this team has been better defensively over the last 15 or so games. Like, you're starting to wonder if this team can be different. Now, look, right? The first round matchup, it's either going to be Milwaukee or Detroit. Right now, it would be Detroit. I don't really have a strong preference. I think the Knicks are, I don't panic. I know Detroit's young and up and coming and talented and could give them problems, and they've been less successful against Detroit in the regular season this year than they are against Milwaukee. I mean, but listen, we don't even know Dame Lillard. There's some reports that he might be able to come back for the postseason. And if that's the case, then you got to say, I'll take the Pistons as opposed to Giannis and Lillard. Like, you have to. And Giannis is still arguably, I heard Laurie on with an interview as I was driving in, and her guest was, forgive me, I don't remember the guest's name, I apologize. But he was talking about how Giannis is still the best player in the Eastern Conference. Like, I'm afraid of stars going off, and he's dominant. So, although I do think Milwaukee will fold, and I don't think either team would stop the Knicks from winning round one, if Lillard's back, then you have to take on Detroit, but otherwise, it's kind of a toss bag. But either way, they should get through it. The question is, are they better now, having dealt with it in this injury, and do this, you know, does this Knicks team now with, you know, Mitch Robinson back being more of a rim protector and helping defensively and getting a different look to other, like, for 90% of the year, no team has seen the Knicks with both Mitchell Robinson and Cat on the floor at the same time. Like, they're going to be able to throw different angles at you, a little bit of a different team, better defensively. Everybody's healthy now is what, the first time all year? Was it the second or third time all year where everybody's healthy, where McBride was in there back from injury, and obviously Brunson and Mitch Robinson? And what you're getting from OG Anunoby completely changes who the team is. That third scoring option to Karl Anthony Towns, who was getting after it in this game and getting to the basket. He's got to show up in big games, I know. But right now, I'm feeling about as good as about this Knicks team as I can. I think they're talented. I think they're good enough. I think they can give Boston or Cleveland, I mean, certainly Cleveland, I think they give Boston a run for their money. It's hard to expect them to win that series, if that's the series, and get back to an Eastern Conference Finals. But I do think that the added element of what we're seeing from OG Anunoby and maybe what we can see defensively can maybe change the dynamic of this team and throw a bunch. Now, you know the rotation's going to be tight, right? We can all talk about the minutes once the postseason gets there. So it's just a matter of Brunson being healthy, But OG looks as healthy and as good as he's looked in a Knicks uniform, and offensively he's been great. Karl-Anthony Towns is fine. He's getting his spot rest here and there, but he'll be fine. And what you're seeing from the rest of the team, hopefully McBride is healthy and this team can throw different angles at you. They were a prolific scoring team early on in the year. They haven't been that in a while, but they've been without their captain. And OG now, with his offensive prowess, hopefully they can get back to that. Plus, I think they're better defensively. So we'll see. Heading in, you feel about as good about this team as you can. The question to me is, what I find interesting is the coach. Because now, again, I know I've said it a couple times, but back-to-back seasons of 50 wins, the idea that that rolls off the tongue without an astounding step back, like, hey, 50 wins back-to-back, it's been 30 years. Pat Riley is the last head coach to get the Knicks back-to-back 50-win seasons. So there's no doubt Thibodeau has done an amazing job. To the point where we kind of dismiss that they've won 50 games. It's expected. The roster's good enough. He's done a good enough job turning this franchise around. Over the last 30 years, all of the coaches combined, there's been one other 50-win season. The Melo year. Like, that's it. So he's done an amazing job of turning this franchise around. They've won 50 games back-to-back. They are a guarantee 3-4 seed or better every single year. This group is going to be together. If he's still the coach next year, which I think he will be, like, you know what they're going to be. They're going to be a 50-win team. They're going to be a top 3 or 4 team in the Eastern Conference at worst. And they should be good enough to at least make us think there's a chance of winning a championship or getting to an NBA Finals. And that is such a far cry from what it's been for so long, that you almost have to just separate yourself from expectations and moving forward and your questions about it, and just for a second say, we are watching the best brand of Knick basketball we have seen in 3 decades. And the idea that we're taking it for granted, and the idea that we're all just focused on, oh, going to be another second round exit, and this is a bunch of crap, which is understandable. I'm not even saying it's not. I'm just saying it's amazing that we're there. It's amazing that after 30 years, we're finally in a position where, as Knicks fans, we're going to be pissed off if we're not playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's what leads me to the next point of this overwhelming feeling and question mark on whether or not Tibbs is the guy to get them over the hump. Because he's built up this team to a level of expectations where we know what we're going to get, and it's going to be really good. And you look back at how great the first half of this season was. Again, another 50 wins. They did a lot of it here at the end without Mitchell Robinson throughout the year, without Jalen Brunson the last month. But the minutes, the rotation, and just the overall arching theme of what he did in Chicago and what he did in Minnesota, and the idea that Tibbs is the kind of coach who builds up a program, but he's not the guy that gets you over the top. And if they have a flame out, because Milwaukee or Detroit won't be easy, although I think they win it, if they have a flame out in the first round, I could see Coach Tibbs not being back. And if they lose in the Eastern, if they lose in the second round and it feels stagnant and they don't really put up a fight against Boston, I don't know, like, where do you go? How do you feel about this coach? And the questions will persist. We will talk about the minutes. We will talk about his coaching. Let's be honest, his in-game X's and O's, defensively maybe, but this team hasn't been a great defensive team. And yeah, you know, without DiVincenzo and the team that was last year and the edge they've kind of lost, you know, without Hartenstein, without DiVincenzo, this team is a little different, a little more skilled, but not as tough. I think that's fair. And they have to find that toughness as they get ready for the playoffs. But it's just amazing to me how we can win these games, have this kind of season, be this kind of team, and still, amazingly enough, because this is sports, man, because 10 years ago, poof, what would you give to have the Knicks win back-to-back 50-game seasons? What would you give to have the Knicks be relevant? What would you give to wonder if they could beat the Celtics in the second round, being the only problem that the Knicks have. To have two superstars in Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, to have the answer at point guard, to, like, I mean, that's a position that had eluded the Knicks for forever. And yet here they are. They're really good, but they're probably not good enough to win a championship. And you wonder, you can't change the team, right? They traded 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. He's not going anywhere. Karl Anthony Towns is here. The core of this group is going to be here for the next couple of years. The owner is telling you that. Is Tibbs the coach to get them over the top? And will we have that answer, or will you feel more certain of that answer one way or the other after this playoff run? But I got to tell you, I'm pumped. There's nothing better than Nick playoff games. There's nothing better than coming on here with you guys after Nick playoff games and reacting to it. And, you know, we are, what, 2 weeks away? Saturday, 2 weeks from 2 weeks from yesterday? Or 2 weeks from Saturday? From getting underway? But, I mean, Tibbs, the minutes, and just the overall idea of is he the guy to get this team over the hump is going to now be a major talking point heading into this season. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your calls. We still had some Yankee and Met calls up there, so we'll get to them. Obviously, open the floor to some Knick calls. You want to talk football? We only got an hour and 20 left, so whatever you want to talk, give me a call. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Devin Williams, 3 games in. Well, we can't judge upon that, but I remember 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain number 54 got off to a slow start, and then George came down and had a talk with him, and Munson was laughing behind Gossage's back, saying, oh my God, what was going on? But then that was the Bronx Zoo. And, oh, that was so entertaining.
Well, I think this team's been pretty entertaining.
Oh,
I've enjoyed watching the 9 games.
Chris,
yeah,
this has been way beyond expectations. Okay, yeah. Judge's cooled off a little bit. He'll get warm again.
Well, I mean,
but Volpe, Volpe has been phenomenal, yeah, in the field, and like Jazz have been phenomenal. Look, they can't win every game. But the pitching has been a little concerning. Stroman only going 4 innings. Mm-hmm. Warren gave him 5 1/3 yesterday, but he pitched pretty well. But the bullpen, well, we need Loaiza, and we need Ian Hamilton back also.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and Cousins is another injury you're waiting to get back from. The back end of the bullpen is in hole right now. But I still think Weaver and Williams is going to be a dynamic. Could be 7, 8, 9 in big games. You get into a big game they need, or a postseason game, you got Weaver and Williams to get you 7, 8, and 9, because Weaver's capable of it, as he showed you today with 2 innings. So yesterday with 2 innings. Like, I think the back end of the bullpen will be fine. The panic over Weaver is ridiculous. I mean, the guy's is a great closer. He's one of the best relievers in baseball. He's going to be fine. Whether it's Goose Gossage in 78 or, you know, if you look back at Mariano, the first year closing, he had issues in 97 to start his career as a closer. And then gave it up in the playoffs. Nobody wants to talk about it. But, you know, he did give up the home run to Alomar to lose the series. He's not infallible. It's 3 games. Mariano Rivera got booed at Yankee Stadium for blowing consecutive games to the Red Sox in 2002 or whatever year it was. Like, we can all calm down. The guy's going to be very good for the New York Yankees. And the lineup, you're right. I mean, the youth in the lineup, I've been impressed with Dominguez, Rice. I mean, but Grisham is the story right now. They're going to have to find a way to put Grisham in the lineup every day, or at least close to it. He's going to play a hell of a lot more. Look what he's doing. And again, it's just fair. It's just fair. Right? I like to give Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone the benefit of the doubt, and I got to admit, I think this is a little bit on the captain. I love Aaron Judge. I've been talking about him. I defend Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge. We're going to have a segment weekly called McMonagall, the Aaron Karen, because I defend both of them like a crazy woman in a CVS. But I have to admit, the idea that we have seen Trent Grisham, they traded for Trent Grisham as part of the Juan Soto trade, and we knew he was a talented guy. We knew he's a Gold Glove winning center fielder. And as New York baseball fans, even if you're not a Met fan, if you're a Yankee fan, you watched him perform extremely well in the wild card series against the Mets and then into the series against the Dodgers as well. He had really had a really good postseason in 2022. And the New York Yankees continued to throw Verdugo out there when he was an automatic out. And honestly, as much as I love Aaron Judge, and I want him part of the decision-making, I think that's fair. You're the captain. I'm not saying you should go out there and make trades, but, you know, discuss things, ask his opinion on things. He could tell you a player he likes and is, you know, respected and likes how they go about handling business, and clearly Verdugo was one of those guys. Judge loved him. Rizzo loved him. And I think that was part of it, but ultimately it's not their decision. It's on Boone and it's on Cashman. And I have to admit, watching him play now, and I know he wasn't this good last year, but the idea that they continued to throw out Verdugo, and not even just in the postseason, just all year long, and not give Grisham more run when this is what he's capable of if he gets going. This is already, like, Verdugo, even when he was going okay at the start of the year last year and at different times, he wasn't what we're seeing from Trent Grisham right now. But Grisham's been an unbelievable story early on. Volpe's been great. This offense overall, like, they were averaging 9 runs a game heading into this one, and they scored, what, 4? Like, they have done an up and down the lineup in the bottom of the order. Over the last couple games, the bottom of the order has been what won these games against Pittsburgh. It wasn't the top. Judge hit a home run, but the game was already decided at that point. It's been Volpe. It's been Dominguez. It's been Jazz. It's been Trent Grisham. It's been Ben Rice. It's been, you know, guys, younger guys that you're trying to get answers on have all been extremely positive. All been extremely positive. It has been a fun team to watch, too. Like, again, I laugh. I can't tell you how many people would call into the show or hit me up on social media and mock the New York Yankees for being old. And I don't know, have you watched the Yankees through 9 games? Do they look old to you? They don't look old to me. They look young. They look athletic. They look fast, stealing bases, double steals, first to third. The Yankees are as fun to watch. Again, 9 games, and the offense could go ice cold in the ice cold temperature of Detroit, and maybe not won't be as fun. But through 9 games, the bullpen has cost them 1, and some poor swings offensively cost them the other. They could easily be 8-1 right now, but they're 6-3, and the offense has been a joy to watch. And it's not just the power. It's not. I know they didn't come through with the good at bats or the sack fly or the small ball everybody wants in extra innings in this game against Pittsburgh, but we have seen it. We have seen small ball. We have seen hits strung together. We have seen sacrifice flies. We have seen good baseball. We've seen double steals. We've seen being aggressive on the base paths. We have seen a lot of stuff we haven't seen from a Yankee offense in a long time. Yes, they've hit more home runs than anybody in the history of baseball. They've been clobbering it, but it hasn't been just that. This offense has been young, fun, dynamic, in every which way. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
C-Mac, is 3:45, and you know what? I woke up 15, 20 minutes ago, and I am wired. I am ready for the day.
Let's go.
Great day.
We got
the Yankees sitting in first place of the AL East already.
That's right.
This team is looking great. For once, it feels like there's no, like, dead weight hole. The 1-9 order, everyone's contributing. Everyone's playing solid. We even got players on the bench that are playing solid. Where did the call, though, about Dominguez, man? You feel like we should just keep him batting lefty? Because it feels like when he's batting righty against left-handed pitching, he struggles. You know,
yeah,
I kind of want to see him
He did start
that. I don't want to see him bat lefty for his lefties.
He did start the rally with the base hit down the first baseline on Saturday that got them the six runs and retook the lead after the inning from Stroman. I don't think they're ready to give up on him switch hitting just yet. He's a little early in his development, because that's what you're asking. Like you're asking Jason Dominguez and the New York Yankees to end him as a switch hitter. Because you can't just say, oh, you know, I mean, Cabrera kind of did it last year where he would pick a spot against, you know, maybe lefties with a reverse split or a lefty that doesn't have a devastating slider or, you know, something along those lines, an easier throwing lefty, you know, hit left-handed because you're more competent from that side. I don't think we're there yet with I don't think we're there yet with Dominguez. The ability to switch hit is such a benefit that I don't think they're not ready to give up on it just yet. But yeah, clearly he's much stronger. Just the swings, just the way you feel about him, he just looks more dangerous left-handed.
And with this guy Trent Grisham, man, I mean, he got some solid play last year.
Yeah,
I think in July, and he was pretty good in that span. I checked his stats late yesterday. Yeah. He was hitting 300 in like a 3-week span where he was starting. So no big surprise he's playing well when he's getting consistent playing time now.
Yeah,
and they got to find a spot for him.
No,
whether it's a DH day for Judge or a DH day for Dominguez.
Yeah,
they gotta keep him in center field, man.
And he's a brilliant center fielder. He's one of those guys that you almost think he comes off as Carlos Beltran. He comes off as Robinson Cano. Very slick fielding, moves with such nonchalant kind of vibe to him that it scares you a little bit. And if he ever drops a ball or makes a misplay, we're going to be all over him because he kind of has that very nonchalant gliding over to the ball. But he's a brilliant center fielder. You can see how easy it is for him. He's part of the bench that everybody said sucked. I mean, the bench has been better than people thought. They absolutely need another right-handed hitter. Pablo Reyes isn't going to be it. I don't know if Peraza is either. That's why I want Nolan Arenado to be the everyday third baseman. I still do. But Trent Grisham so far this year, it's been a great story, and they're gonna work him in. Because again, it's Dominguez. Like you could figure it out. Dominguez, Rice, these guys don't have to play every day. As good, you know, you'd like to see Rice get at bats every day, but if Trent Grisham's hot, you ride the hot hand for a while. And when he cools off, you put him back on the bench for a while. Like there isn't someone you have to play every day. Like it is the benefit of not having the Juan Sotos of the world. And don't get me wrong, I'm still a Plan B sucks kind of guy. It's only 9 games in. I am having a ton of fun, and hopefully I'll be wrong about Plan B and this pivot that they've made. But the benefit of not having the Juan Soto or the all-star in every position is that the ability to ride the hot hand. Right now it's Trent Grisham. So you know what? You DH Judge. You give Ben Rice a day off. You put Dominguez on the bench. You know, do what you have to do to put – and plus he's brilliant defensively. So it's your best defensive outfield when he's out there. But they were able to benefit from a couple of days with a stiff back from Bellinger. You know, you could easily, certainly against left-handed pitching, put Dominguez on the bench and play Grisham. Like, I know he's a left-handed hitter, but he's been better against lefties, and it just gives you better defense out there, and it doesn't hurt you offensively. And just to keep him fluid and playing more regularly than he did last year. But there's no doubt, so far in the early part of the year, he's been a major part of this bottom of the order being really good. Like that was the thing last year, right? It's two good hitters. It's Soto and Judge and nobody else. This lineup feels completely different than that. And again, it's 9 games in. Who knows what it's going to look like 90 games in. But right now, the entire lineup feels a hell of a lot more stable, a hell of a lot younger, a hell of a lot faster, a hell of a lot more athletic. And it's fun to watch. The Yankees are fun. The Yankees are exciting. For all these years, we've heard, oh, the Yankees are boring. The Yankees are boring. This team is not boring. The rotation could be a hell of a lot better. And, you know, the bullpen, I still think at the back end is elite. It's just a matter of getting some other guys back there, because right now your third best pitcher is Cruz or Leiter. And I don't think you're anticipating them being your third guy out of the bullpen. You'd like to have Loaisiga. You'd like to have Hamilton, guys who've been a little bit more proven for the Yankees. But when those guys do come back and now you're moving Leiter and Cruz to your fourth, fifth, sixth best pitcher in the bullpen, now you start to have a legitimate bullpen. Right now they have Yarbrough and Adam Ottavino being too relevant. Phil in Long Island. What's up, Phil?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Real quick, before I get on my Grisham point, I saw Evan at the Mets game yesterday. I was sitting next to him. I brought up the March Madness, the pizza debacle, and he chuckled at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pizza debacle was an Evan debacle more than – it's not the pizza's fault.
Yeah, real quick on Grisham. Listen, yeah. Obviously Verdugo didn't pan out, and obviously what Trent's doing to start the year is, he's carried us. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to 23 and 24,
yeah.
Okay, 22 and 23, 500 plus plate appearances.
Yes.
He batted under 200 both years.
Yes.
So listen, I'm not saying Grisham, he can't take advantage of the short porch. He can't give us good at bats at the bottom of the order.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen this before. Ben Rice, He was going to be a monster last year, and, he fizzled out a little bit. So we can give it a little time. The league will make these
adjustments. I don't think I'm saying Verdugo was worse. That's all I'm saying. Like, I could have tried to give Trent a little bit of a run as opposed to Verdugo last year. That was my only point with that. But, yeah,
Verdugo was responsible for a playoff win, though. We got to give him that.
He was. No, the game one. I totally agree. Game one against the Royals, he absolutely won. He was the guy who got the big base hit. Look, I'm not trying to say Grisham's unbelievable or he's a great player. I'm saying he's showing something right now. And I love it because we talk about accountability and playing, guys who deserve it. Well, right now, Trent Grisham deserves it. He's a fourth outfielder. He's not a starting player for the New York Yankees. No one's saying otherwise. I'm not saying they should make him a starter. I'm saying right now, with the way he's going, he's got to play more than once every other week. That was what he was playing last year. Last year, you saw Trent Grisham once every other week because they had Judge, Soto, and Verdugo. And that was the outfield every day. Trent Grisham came in for defensive replacement maybe every once in a while, or Trent Grisham, got a spot. Again, Trent Grisham played once every 10 to 12 games. And right now he's earned more, and the team is flexible enough where you can give him more. And especially without Stanton being there for your everyday DH, as great as Ben Rice is, and I want to see him get at bats, you can move him. Goldschmidt's 37 years old. Against tough right-handers, you can give him a day. Like, there is a lot. As long as Grisham's hitting, this all obviously goes with Grisham hitting. If Grisham isn't hitting, then you don't try and work your way into the lineup with him. But right now, he's killing the baseball. So I'm just saying, for a fourth outfielder, he's pretty damn good. I wish they would have given him more run while Verdugo was awful last year. And, right now, he's got 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and he's hitting .455 with a 1.44 OPS. He's slugging .900. Is he going to do that? Is he going to do half of that? Probably not. But for the whole year. But right now you ride him and he's been great. And if he can benefit from playing multiple days a week or, figuring this thing out, there's nothing wrong with platooning guys who are hitting. When he gets cold, he gets cold. And plus, he's brilliant defensively. So right now, Grisham's been a huge part of this.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.